T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Everybody knows everyone who's here. To my far right, James Malotras, president of the SUNY Empire State College. Dr. Howard Zucker, our health commissioner. Melissa DeRosa, secretary to the governor. Robert Mojica, budget director. A lot going on. The situation is accelerating. The numbers are accelerating. Energy is accelerating. And action is accelerating. First, as I've said before, this is a national problem, and we need federal leadership. You look at the countries who have handled this. I don't care if it's China, South Korea, if it's Italy. They were all handled by national leadership. This is a national problem. It cannot be done in a piecemeal method. You need federal parameters to stop the national patchwork of density reduction closings. I did a few national interviews this morning, and I was watching the national news. You see a whole hodgepodge of efforts being taken across the country. This state is doing this, this state is doing this, this city is doing this.
It's the same
problem. It's chaos. I think it actually feeds the feeling that the country's out of control. And there is no clear direction, and there is no clear path. California is doing this, New York is doing this, Illinois is doing this. It's the same problem across the country. The density may shift temporarily, but it is the same problem. Let the federal government say, these are the guidelines. Here are the guidelines on schools. Here are the guidelines on businesses. Here are the guidelines on travel. Rather than having a scramble of every local government, state government, trying to figure it out on its own, it makes no sense. It is also counterproductive, because then what it does, it allows what I call state shopping. In other words, you don't like the rules in New York? Well, then you go to Pennsylvania. You don't like what California is doing? Then you can come to New York. That's the last thing you want. That is the last thing you want. But when you allow this pattern of disparate policies, that's exactly what you're driving. And look, I manage the state of New York. All the local governments in the state of New York must have the same policy. Why? Otherwise, we would be creating the same problem that the federal government is creating. You can't have Albany with one set of rules, but Schenectady with a different set of rules, and Rensselaer with another set of rules. People will be confused. And again, if you don't like the rule, you get in your car, you drive 15 minutes, you're in a different jurisdiction subject to a different set of rules. So in New York, you cannot shop New York City versus Westchester versus Nassau versus Albany versus Schenectady. It's one set of rules for the entire state. And it should be one set of rules for the entire nation. And that is the role of the federal government and national leadership, and it is lacking. The federal government should put one position in place and coordinate it with the states. If the federal government isn't going to do what it should do, then the states have to try their best, right? And the best way is for me not only to have a uniform policy within the state of New York, but to the extent you can, cooperate with surrounding states so you all have a common set of practices, right? I don't want to close down bars in New York, but Connecticut leaves the bars open. Why? Because then many people will get in their car and they'll drive to Connecticut to go to a bar, which is the last thing we want. Now we have people who are drinking and driving. It makes no sense. I don't want to have one set of rules here and a different set of rules in New Jersey, because then I close down the bars, you'll get in the car, you'll drive to New Jersey. It makes no sense. Well, then get the states to coordinate themselves. Yes, very hard to do. Luckily, we have set a template where our regional states work together. Many of you came to our regional meeting on marijuana laws, and I have a good relationship that I've developed with the surrounding governors. So we have actually deployed that here. And I just did a call with Governor Phil Murphy of New Jersey and Governor Ned Lamont of Connecticut, and we are adopting the same policies. So there is no benefit to try to shop New York versus Connecticut versus New Jersey. There will be no more gatherings of 50-plus people. So if you were hoping to plan a graduation party, you can't do it in the state of New York, you can't go do it in the state of New Jersey, and you can't do it in the state of Connecticut. Casinos, we all have casinos. If I close my casinos, but New Jersey keeps their casinos open, we're going to have the same problem. All casinos will be closed effective 8 p.m. tonight, and they will stay closed until further notice. On all these closings, they are all until further notice. And hopefully I can coordinate with the other governors so we can have the same opening period, just the way we had the same closing period. Gyms are closed effective 8 p.m. tonight. I know that's a specific hardship for the people in this room, because I can all see you are in masterful shape, buff even. There are other ways to exercise. Theaters closing at 8 o'clock tonight until further notice. Any bar or restaurant closes at 8 o'clock tonight. However, there is a silver lining for these establishments, because we're also very aware of the economic consequences for these establishments. So the state liquor authority is going to change its rules. They'll have guidance up by 5 p.m. this evening that will allow bars, restaurants, distilleries to sell their products off premises. So whatever you could get, whatever you could order in the bar or restaurant or distillery or winery, you can purchase through takeout. And we hope that goes a long way towards alleviating any economic hardship. Stay home and order from your favorite restaurant, order from your favorite bar, order from your favorite winery, order from whatever establishment that you were thinking of patronizing. Just order it and stay at home. And again, the state liquor authority will change their rules to allow that. It's not currently allowed. We will only allow it during this period of closure, but I think it will help those businesses. As you know, we've done a lot of work with the wineries and distilleries to grow that industry in New York, and I want to make sure we protect them. Now everybody is at home, and they're at home with their kids. My kids are a little older, but I remember the old days when you're in the house with a number of young kids. The house can get very small very quickly. The kids can get very rambunctious very quickly. We're going to waive all park fees in all state parks, local parks, county parks. So you want to get out of the house? Great. Go to the park. The weather's changing. Take a walk. Enjoy your family. And do it in an environment that is not a dense environment, which is exactly what the parks provide. Other actions, all local governments must reduce their workforce by 50% minimum. I'm directing all local governments to allow their non-essential personnel to stay home, work from home, with a 50% minimum. Local government can go higher than 50%, but it must be a 50% minimum. Work from home, which is the same thing I'm asking private businesses. If we can ask private businesses to do that, government, I think, leads by example. So not just for New York State government, which will do this also, all local governments, non-essential people work from home, and a minimum of 50% of the workforce must stay at home. Second, I'm directing local governments to make sure that all their local police departments and emergency management services are supplied with masks, surgical masks. You have police officers who are encountering people in all different circumstances, EMS workers who traditionally wear masks, police officers who traditionally do not. But I was at the New Rochelle drive-through testing center the other day. And you know, if you're a police officer, you're walking up to a car, you're stopping a driver, they roll down the window. By definition, you're within more than 6 feet. You don't know who you're talking to. People are positive who don't even know that they're positive. I want all the police officers who are showing, all first responders, are showing great courage getting up and going out and doing their job every day. I want them to know that we understand the situation they're putting themselves in, and we're providing the necessary precautions. So every local government must provide their local police department, EMS workers, with masks. New York City, Nassau, Suffolk, Westchester, and Rockland must have child care, educational services, and meal programs in place by midnight. We said that those schools will be closing, but we need to take care of the negative, the downside of closing a school. This is not an easy decision. There are negatives when you close a school. Most notably, you don't have child care for essential personnel. You don't have child care for health care workers. Remember, please, the greatest challenge and the greatest damage is going to be done by an overwhelmed healthcare system. Nurses, healthcare workers, 1199 members don't have alternatives to childcare. Public education is also this state's childcare system. It's this nation's childcare system. And it's not that easy to say, well, let them get a babysitter. They can't afford it. It's hard to find, and we would have created a true negative situation if we lost healthcare workers or first responders because we closed schools and they had to stay home with their children. This is solved easily enough. You're closing schools. Don't close all the schools. Leave a couple of schools open or parts of schools open to provide childcare for the essential personnel. We also have to have meal programs and meal services in place and educational services in place. On that condition, I ordered the schools closed. But it's on that condition. And I want those plans and I want them in place by midnight, and they have to be approved. We strongly advise that only services and businesses that are essential stay open after 8 p.m. Grocery stores, gas stations, pharmacies, medical facilities. We want people home. We want less density. We strongly advise this. This is not mandatory, but it is strongly advised. And it's not mandatory at this time. And it may be in the future, but it is strongly advised at this time. Testing, we have had a phenomenal increase in testing. We've been able to use our laboratories. Our emergency management team has done a very good job of reaching out to our state labs, getting them on track, getting them coordinated. Our testing numbers are way up, as you'll see. Next week, by the end of this week, we think we're going to be up to about 7,000 tests per day, which is an exponential increase of what we have done. I made this suggestion to the Vice President. I made it to the President. I often tell you when I am unhappy with the federal response to this state, the fairness dictates that kudos where kudos are due. And here, the Vice President and the President responded very quickly. So I want to thank them for that. We started a drive-through testing facility in New Rochelle, Westchester, where we have one of the highest clusters. It's one of the first in the United States. I believe actually the first on the Eastern Seaboard. It has worked very well. It's safe for everyone. You drive up in your car, you never get out of your car. You're tested in your vehicle. They take the test kits back. The time that it takes to take the test is actually faster than we thought. Doesn't normally happen in government. We allotted 15 minutes per car. It's actually running ahead of that schedule. We want to replicate that because it's just smart. The worst thing is a person walking into an emergency room. If you are positive, you infect other people. If you're negative, you may get infected by walking into the emergency room. So this is the best way to test someone. We said we were going to open one on Long Island after the positive New Rochelle experience. We're also going to open one on Staten Island. Staten Island does not have an abundance of hospitals. Staten Island is a community where people drive, and Staten Island, I believe, is an appropriate location for this. I also think that Staten Island feels that they have not gotten the level of attention of health services that they need, and I've spoken to Max Rose, I spoke to Senator Andrew Lanza, and I believe this is going to make a difference. We're also open one in Rockland County on the same theory. We're going to a new phase in this entire process. We talked about early detection. We've talked about testing. We talked about containment. You see those numbers are going up. That means you're moving towards a mitigation phase. and you're moving to a phase where you must expect a significant inflow into the hospital health care system. Now, again, this is the great curve they talk about, plus or minus. Flatten the curve, flatten the curve, flatten the curve. That's what all you hear, that's what you hear every day on TV. You see this curve. We must flatten the curve. The concept is right. Flatten the curve, slow the spread so the healthcare system can handle it. When they say this, I don't think of a curve. I think of a wave. And the wave is going to break, and the wave is going to break on the hospital system. We're doing everything we can to flatten the curve. I believe we've taken more dramatic actions than any state in the United States. I believe we've had the most effective response of any state in the United States. I don't believe we're going to be able to flatten the curve enough to meet the capacity of the healthcare system. So in this business, plan ahead, plan forward, anticipate what's coming down the road and get ready for it. Expanding the capacity of the healthcare system for a state is virtually impossible. Building a hospital is a very elaborate, extensive, expensive undertaking. Again, we need the federal government to play its role. The federal government has tremendous capacity. I was in the federal government. I was a cabinet secretary. I worked with the military. I worked with the Army Corps of Engineers. They have tremendous capacity. This is what they do. This is what they do. They build airports. They build bridges. They build hospitals. This is exactly what they do. Deploy the Army Corps of Engineers to come work with states to build temporary medical facilities. Get us backup beds. So when the hospital is overwhelmed, we can have some of the people who are in the hospital beds go to a backup medical facility. It makes all the sense in the world. And if you don't do it, you know what is going to happen. You're going to overwhelm the hospitals. You only have 53,000 hospital beds. You only have 3,000 ICU beds. Why? Because our health system is basically a private system. They don't build capacity that they don't need. They don't build extra ICU beds just in case. An intensive care bed is very expensive. They don't build a wing of ICU beds that sit vacant for 10 years on the off chance that there's going to be a public health emergency and you'll need the beds. They don't. It's not economic. It's not their business model. So we don't have them. We have the capacity that people use day in and day out. And that's not just New York. That's every state in the United States. You now have this influx. You can't handle it. You overwhelm the hospitals. You have people on gurneys in hallways. That is what is going to happen now if we do nothing. That is what is going to happen now if we do nothing. And that, my friends, will be a tragedy. We know what lies ahead. Look at the numbers from China, South Korea, and Italy. You don't have to guess. You just have to project. The numbers are on a chart. Our numbers are on a chart. Just extend the current trajectory. Just go dot, 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 and you'll see the numbers rise, and you compare those numbers to our hospital capacity, and it's still math at the end of the day. And it doesn't work. The federal government must do this. Assume the federal government doesn't do what the federal government is supposed to do, which would not be a wild assumption, as it hasn't happened to date. Well, then, as a fallback, the states have to do whatever they have to do. And the state has to mobilize to create backup medical facilities. And that is what we are going to do. We're going to organize the National Guard, the work with the building unions, and work with private developers to find existing facilities that could most easily be adapted to medical facilities. Meaning what? Meaning dormitories, meaning former nursing homes, facilities that have that basic configuration that could be retrofit. Even that is not easy, because you have the construction element and you also have the equipment element. It is very, very hard to get medical equipment now, because everybody on the globe is trying to buy the same medical equipment. Everybody wants to buy a ventilator. Everybody wants to buy oxygen. Everybody is trying to buy the same equipment, and it's terribly scarce. That's why I go back again to the capacity of the federal government, which operates and maintains a medical emergency stock, where they have stocked medical equipment for domestic issues or for wartime, right? When you go to war and they set up a wartime hospital, they have equipment. They have it stockpiled. That's why they're uniquely suited to do this. But in any event, we're going to do the best we can. I need, first and foremost, to find available facilities that can be converted. And I'm asking local governments, especially in the most dense area, to immediately identify a number of beds in facilities that are available. Frankly, I hope they're surplus, because we don't have, this is very expensive, and I don't want to pay money for acquisition of property and real estate. But we need the communities that are most effective to begin finding available beds. New York City, we estimate conservatively, we at this point should identify 5,000 additional beds, Nassau 1,000 additional beds, Suffolk 1,000 additional beds, Westchester 2,000 additional beds. Why more for Westchester? Westchester has the New Rochelle cluster, which, as you know, has a significant number of people tested positive. We will do everything we can, but we need federal assets and we need federal assistance. I am very proud of this state government and what it can do. And we have done things that no state government has done before. We built bridges, we built airports, we've responded to emergencies. But know what you can't do. We don't have the billions of dollars that you would need to implement an immediate emergency hospital construction program. This state can't do it. No state can do it. To increase hospital capacity of the existing hospitals in the meantime, DOH is going to be suspending its regulations to allow existing hospitals to increase their space and capacity. DOH has regulations about how many beds per room, how much space between beds, et cetera, how wide a hallway has to be. Those are going to be suspended so hospitals can actually use their physical space with more efficiency. We're leaving it up to the hospitals for their discretion and prudence in making these decisions. but we do have to get very aggressive about them better using their existing space. I want the private hospitals to be on notice that we may soon be canceling elective surgery. We are not doing it now. Elective surgery is between 25 and 35% of the beds. Some of the elective surgery is critical. Some is not critical. The non-critical elective surgery may be canceled on a mandatory basis. I'm asking them now, as a precaution, to start to plan to cancel elective surgery that is not necessary. We will need that capacity in the hospitals when those numbers peak. Michael Dowling, who was the former health commissioner for the state of New York, a phenomenal fellow. He worked with my father and was in my father's administration. He was health commissioner. He was deputy secretary. He's just a jewel of a human being, and he's one of the best healthcare professionals in the United States of America. He runs Northwell now, which is a magnificent organization. But Michael and Ken Rasky, Ken Rasky runs Greater New York Hospital Association. They coordinate all the hospitals. I ask them to convene all the hospitals and now start developing the maximum surge capacity. So if a hospital's capacity is 500, okay, what if we bring in more beds? How many more beds can you hold? What if we brought in more staff, et cetera? We also have a number of efforts going on finding more staff, more doctors, et cetera, not just for the surge capacity, but also for the additional facilities we may open. These are the new number of tests. We're up to 7,000 tests, so it's a dramatic increase, 1,600 new tests. What happens when the testing capacity increases? The number of positives increase by definition. So the number of new cases has gone up 221 to 950 cases. And you can see New York City is increasing. Westchester is still disproportionate to the population of Westchester. That still represents the New Rochelle cluster. Nassau, 109. Suffolk 63, Rockland 16, Albany 12, Orange 11, Dutchess 10, Monroe 9, Ulster 7. Number of new cases, New York City and Westchester. Some in Nassau, some in Suffolk. But you'll see the cases rise in the most dense areas because that's where people are transferring the virus among themselves. Counties with new cases today, Allegheny, Onondaga, Ontario, and Wyoming. So you see the spread continues. Most impacted states in the United States. We are now 950, number one in the country, 676 for Washington State. Again, these cases are more an example of how many tests you're doing and who you're testing rather than a raw number of cases in that area. Our deaths have increased to 7. Washington is the next highest at 42. Total deaths in the United States, 67. Hospitalizations, 158 out of 950. That's 17% of the cases. When we talk about hospital capacity, just take that 17%. And it's always, if you notice, 14%, 15%, 16%, 17%. Run that 17% against whatever you think the total infected population will be. And then compare that to our hospital capacity. and that will keep you up at nights. Hence, the situation that Dr. Zucker and myself and my colleagues are in. Again, perspective, perspective, perspective. I went through the numbers in Italy. I went through the numbers in South Korea and China last night. You look at all these numbers, they're the same story. You look at the deaths in New York, it's the same story. People who had underlying illnesses, if they got the flu in a normal season, they would be in grave trouble. Instead, they got the coronavirus, and they had existing illnesses, and they passed away. Remember, before any of this, somebody would pass away in a hospital, an older person, and you would say, how did they die? And they would say, pneumonia. You'd say, pneumonia? Well, how'd they catch pneumonia? Well, it wasn't really pneumonia. It was they had heart disease. They had emphysema. They were struggling with cancer. And then the pneumonia becomes the accelerant to a bad situation. And that's what's happening here. Any of my colleagues, additional points? Why don't you make them? No. Melissa?
No.
Robert? No. Questions?
Gyms will be closed. Can you elaborate on that? And also, did you confer with City Hall or Mayor de Blasio on this? Because he was at the gym this morning, and just wondering if he knew about the fact that you're going to close
down. He can be in the gym this morning. You can be in the gym this afternoon. You can be in the gym this evening. You just can't be in the gym after 8 o'clock.
Should you be using the gym already as is with social distancing?
Yeah, you can use the gym.
Have you been using the gym?
Are you asking me if I go to a public gym?
Yes, you do. Or gym in general?
I have my own workout routine that I have developed over a number of years that I do alone. So I don't do it in the gymnasium.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Governor, have you heard back from the White House about the matter of deploying the Army Corps of Engineers?
We're having ongoing conversations, and none have been conclusive.
What's the overall prediction or projection for the number of people who could potentially get this in New York, and what's the overall projection for the need for hospital beds? I mean, I know we've got like a cap of like 50,000 or so beds, but what's the need looking like at this point?
Yeah. That's an unfair question for Commissioner Zucker because it's anyone's guess, but I'll recommend this to you. Google that question, and you will get a range from 40% to 80% of the population. Merkel said what, 70%? 60% of her population. 40% to 60%. So take 40% or 60%. Of 18 million, take a hospitalization rate of our sample of about 17%, and then compare that to 50,000 hospital beds. You will then break out in a sweat, maybe hives. You will feel great anxiety, panic attack, and you'll be right.
How does the state work for it? What are the plans in place? I know you have restrictions downstate, but I drove in today. The Empire State Plaza seems to be full. And as you're telling local governments, get to 50%. What about state workers here in Albany?
Yeah, that was yesterday's policy. Today's policy is non-essential workers, a minimum of 50% of the workforce for our state government and every local government in the state.
Requesting that the federal government shut schools, shut businesses, shut bars, restaurants. It seems like that's where you're headed.
I want federal guidance, Jesse. You can't have one state taking actions that are different than other states. There are ways to do it. You could say, if your state has a density index of over X, if you have more than this many cases than this, but when you leave it, you know, this is like the reverse federalism. This is a national pandemic, and there are no national rules. So, literally, the national news broadcasts today would cause somebody to panic. Everybody on their own with all these hodgepodge, just say, you don't even have to make it mandatory. Just let the federal government say, here's what we think you should do, so I know what Connecticut is going to do and Massachusetts is going to do and Pennsylvania is going to do, or they're likely to do, so I do the same thing. Look how much damage you can do. I close down my bars. Jersey doesn't close down their bars. Everybody drives to Jersey to drink. Everybody drives home. It makes no sense.
By extension, though, did you try to include Massachusetts, Vermont, Pennsylvania, other regional states in this compact?
I did not get there here. You know, we are the tri-state area. We have the most interaction. Obviously, part of New York abuts Massachusetts, and Alan Shartok goes back and forth. Part of it goes, we have contiguous with Pennsylvania exam. Also, we did convene them for the marijuana regional discussion. We started here. We will be expanding. But this was quite an elaborate undertaking because you had to align three states' policies. So this is not just consultative. We actually all adopted the same policies, Jesse. I don't ever remember this happening, period.
So presumably, does this preempt what Governor, Mayor de Blasio announced last night in terms of closings of...
This preempts what any mayor anywhere or county executive anywhere in the state said. The same point I make about the national government is even more true on the state level. You can't close bars in Manhattan but leave them open in Nassau, because now everybody drives to Nassau for the bar. You have to have one set of rules that are uniform. And that's why in an emergency situation, there's actually a protocol that makes sense. Local governments can set rules. The state can override those rules. And the federal government can override state rules. Because it's not a situation where you can allow all these disparate policies. They are actually counter not only to common sense, but they're counter to public safety and they're counter to public health.
Why not do the same thing with schools then in New York? Why not you just have a blanket policy, they're all closed, you know, like the city going to be closed April 20th?
We will.
What do you mean, well, I mean, you will.
We will.
When is that going to happen?
So about 86% of the schools are closed already statewide.
Right.
We have talked to SED this morning. We are closing the remaining 14%. That will go into effect by Wednesday.
So then is there a date specific as to when they would reopen?
We're starting with 2 weeks, and then we'll adjust as it makes sense moving forward.
So just all clear, by the end of the day, this afternoon, you'll be closing all schools for 2 weeks.
Yes.
Well, yeah, and we'll have an announcement this afternoon on the specifics of that because people want to know exactly how and when and what hour, et cetera.
Why just a two-week period? Obviously, New York City's closed for, you know, a month or so. Why just start at 2 weeks and then reevaluate it? Is that kind of
reevaluate, that's all it is.
Okay.
And look, if in 2 weeks, miraculously, everything is fine, I'll reopen every school in New York in 2 weeks. So
2 weeks, all schools in the state closed for 2 weeks at least.
Yeah, I haven't communicated with SED yet, Jesse, so that's what we're planning. We will have specific guidelines that we announced this afternoon. Sure,
we've actually had patients discharged from the hospital. 16 have been discharged from the hospital. And I am sure there are many people out there that we have not tested who have gotten coronavirus and have gotten better that are out there in the community. And
is track of, like, how many people have tested positive and how many people are now...
We're tracking all of that information, yes.
Excuse me, just look at these numbers, please. Where are they for you? Since it started, 169,000 cases, 77,000 recovered on the 169 since it started, 85,000 are pending, which means they're still ill, 6,000 passed away. I'm sorry.
What about mass?
Just to go back to Jesse for a second. Jesse, I want a uniform policy on the schools also, because you know, you have two parent families who have children in schools, businesses that are operating that have employees with children in different school districts. So we want to get a uniform school closing policy also, and that's what we're working with SED about. So hold on the details of the school closing policy, but we will be closing all schools. That is true, and I then want to have a uniform policy so we have a semblance of normalcy.
Is that sort of similar to what you're doing downstate? You want to ensure that there's child care, there's
yes, sir.
Meals?
Yes, sir. And I want to make sure every school district is in a position to do that, and they know it's coming, and they're preparing for it.
Their billing practices while they're closed?
Did
gyms?
My gym did. But I don't have a gym.
Governor.
But I don't know what the other gym's policy is going to be.
Governor, what's going to happen with the budget at this point? And should there be money set aside, like a rainy day fund set aside for when we're still dealing with this several months down the road?
There should be a rainy day fund set aside. There should be a snowstorm fund set aside. There should be a fog fund set aside. Yeah, all those set aside should be done. Obviously, I'm kidding. The budget, I asked the controller to give me his re-estimate of the revenues. Let's just take a second on this because it's important that you understand. The essential element in the budget is the projection of revenues. And that's why there's always a disagreement on the revenue projection, and we have this whole elaborate process to come up with a consensus revenue forecast. We did a revenue forecast. Since we did a revenue forecast, the world has changed 180 degrees three times, okay? I asked the controller for a revenue forecast. He's doing it. You turn on the television, you look at the stock market, you tell me what the revenue forecast is. My best guess is our revenue forecast was outrageously high compared to what is going on. How high, who knows? Rob Mojica, who can be an optimist, for very brief intervals of time, says that there's a theory that the market is a V. It dropped quickly, and it's going to come up quickly. That's a theory. What is the effect of these businesses that are closing down? How much revenue did they lose? And how much less tax revenue will we get? How many people will be laid off and not earning income? And how much tax revenue will we lose? There is no doubt that the revenues are going to be way down. So, rainy day fund, that was my attempt at humor, have a rainy day fund, a number of reserve funds. That is very true. On top of that, you have the Medicaid redesign team coming back, which is trying to close what was already a $2.5 billion hole. We now have a new complication that could only happen in a world of total chaos. The federal government is passed the first coronavirus bill, which I have lamented, $8 billion. New York State only gets $35 million. Then they're now passing a new coronavirus bill. In that coronavirus bill, New York State gets the lowest level of reimbursement. They do it based off the Medicaid funds. New York State gets 50% of their Medicaid funds reimbursed. Some states get 75%. No state gets less than 50%. In raw dollars, we do very well, but that's only because we spend more than anybody else. But in that bill, they tucked in a provision that said you can make no changes whatsoever to your Medicaid program, which means, if you want to take the literal approach, the MRT, which is recommending changes in the Medicaid program, cannot be accepted because of that federal bill. Why the federal government would have passed the written in language that says you can't make any changes to your Medicaid program, why our New York delegation allowed it when they knew in January we had an MRT, Mike Dowling, Dennis Rivera were heading it. The second time we did it to find improvements, I have no idea.
I read those provisions. My read was that there's one that basically says you can't cut benefits for people, which I don't think you were hoping to do anyway. And the other one says you can't do what you tried to do, which is to shift more of the share of costs on the counties. So counties are, and the city of New York are delighted that you've lost on the second provision.
I understand your position. Would you like to make a wager, my friend, that you are incorrect?
But I read the bill and I talked to the Senator Schumer.
I know, we went through this. Oh, okay, so you want to make a wager that you are wrong?
You're closing casinos. I don't think you can.
I will wager you that you are wrong, that you misread the bill, that the bill says you can't make any changes to the Medicaid program which would preempt the MRT changes. I have no doubt that they did it as political protection. You're half right. They did it for political protection so the counties wouldn't have to pay anything more, which is ironic, by the way, since we voluntarily now pay all the excess from the counties, which we did on our own. The federal government never said you should pay all the increased costs, but they now want to tell us you can't raise it. It also said, do you have the language here?
Yes.
Wait, don't read it yet. How much are we wagering?
I'll bet you beer.
Okay, read the language.
Yeah, it says you can't change any eligibility standards or methodologies. It also says you can't make any changes to any of the enrollment standards going forward. It talks about making changes to any premiums.
I'll take the beer right now, as a matter of fact, because you're not going to be able to give it to me after 8 o'clock.
And it also refers to any kind of income checks or any qualifying checks. So it goes on and on. But it basically limits substantially the ability of the MRT to do what the MRT was intended to do.
And here's the problem, Jimmy. Without the MRT, you can't balance the budget. So I spoke to Senator Schumer. They tried to say, oh, no, all we did was protect the local governments in New York City. This provision says, goes well beyond that, says no MRT. You can't do a budget without the MRT. Now we can't do a budget until they fix that anyway. I spoke to Senator Schumer. I spoke to Congresswoman Lowy. I call in Congresswoman Speaker Pelosi. But it was a terrible blunder by the federal government. And it makes it impossible to do the budget, and they have to fix it, and they have to change it.
Last question. Speaking of that, the Senate and Assembly just canceled session for the day, postponed until at least Wednesday. I know you had some bills that you wanted them to do this week. Does that put a crimp in your plans?
No, Wednesday's fine. April 1 is the budget.
But didn't you have things like this week with the petition gathering numbers and basically,
no, I did the petition by executive order. That's done. Well, What they don't pass is the paid sick leave, which also gave people pay for their quarantine period. So I'm sure the people who are in quarantine and wanted to get paid wish that they voted for the bill so they could get paid.
Governor, do you believe the 7-day waiting period on unemployment benefits? We're hearing reports that—
On what, I'm sorry?
On the unemployment benefits?
Yes, sir.
It seems like people going to the website can get it on the website, but then they're told to call a number, and they're saying that the wait could be several days before they hear back from DOL. So can you kind of address that? Is there anything done to fix that?
I have not heard that, obviously, but I will check forthwith. Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be.
Just go back to Medicaid, because I've got a beer on the line here.
Yeah. No, you lost the beer.
We've applied for waivers in the past successfully. What makes you think you couldn't come up with a way to do this that would also be eligible for a waiver?
Okay. You want to go double or nothing on that question?
Yes.
On what theory could you apply for a waiver for a law that is not changed and be granted the waiver in time to do a budget for April 1?
You come up with the plan, you bake it in, you do a contingent on a waiver, much like the budget you proposed
earlier
this year.
I do a budget contingent on a waiver?
You proposed the budget earlier this year contingent on a waiver.
$2.5 billion? Maybe we'll get it, maybe we won't.
Did you earlier this year?
Never.
You did it earlier this year?
Not on, I never had a $2.5 billion contingency. You couldn't get it rated. Who knows that?
Governor.
Rob?
Does the closing of casinos affect the closing of racinos as well, such as Batavia Downs or the Saratoga Casino?
I believe it does.
Yes.
I believe it does.
Two beers, Jimmy. Two beers.
Have you done modeling on this thus far, and can we anticipate how many cases, or can you share how many cases we can anticipate?
We actually are working with some of the associations on a modeling to try to figure out exactly where on that spectrum this will fall, both in New York as well as on the national level.
But Jesse, if you take your story in your time story on projections, it answers that question. See, the range is so broad. If you go from 40% of the population to 70% of the population, it is so broad. And the hospitalization rates tend to be somewhat predictable. China will tell you their hospitalization rate, South Korea will tell you, Italy will tell you. The overall universe, they can't tell you the 40 to 70. But if you start with, if you go to 40%, if you go to
30,
any projection, you are it's an avalanche on the healthcare system. Any projection. I mean, it's like hundreds of thousands.
How many deaths do we have recorded?
Seven.
Seven. Whereabouts are they? How many in the city?
There are five in New York City, one in Rockland, one in Suffolk.
Also, with the bars and restaurants closure, how does that impact the city?
So you cannot ask three questions about bar and restaurant
closure.
I'm going
to try.
I'm just saying it's, go ahead.
I'm Irish. How does that impact the city's executive order that de Blasio announced last night, supposed to go into effect tomorrow?
This is a statewide executive order. Different governments may have different executive orders. This one overrides all executive orders.
Also, is your gym at home, or where is that?
I'm going to take you to my gym one day.
Plans to close the subway.
I'm sorry.
Governor, given the uncertainty around the budget, you know, and all this talk about Medicaid, are you still pushing for a bond act this year?
Yes.
Marijuana?
Yes.
Do you anticipate that bail and marijuana will both be in the budget?
Yes, we're here. We're doing our job like everybody else, especially like government employees. Like the police are out doing their job, and the correction officers are doing their job, and the nurses are doing their job, and the transit worker unions are doing their job. Public service. We're here in public service, and that's what we're doing at a time when you desperately need public service. You join the military. You know when they need you? when there's a war, that's when they need you. And this is a war against coronavirus. So we're here, we're working.
So even with all of the moves that the state is making at the state level, you still want to see bail, some changes to bail reform and marijuana legalization within the budget?
Yes. I want to see as much as we can get done. Only caveat, I want to do things right. I know the legislature, you know, sometimes they're overly anxious to pass a bill, and then you pass a bill, and then it turns out it was a mistake, and then you have to come back and fix it. I want to do as much as we can do. Only caveat, if it has not been thought through, that's a different story. I want to do what we can do as long as we can do it right. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.